Today on Wings.
May women be strong as a lion, giving birth to the future.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Wings is pleased to present an excerpt of the September 15, 2014 edition of Women's Voices, called Bringing Back the Wisdom of the Mother. It was hosted by Janie Reisner on KZYX in Mendocino County in Northern California. The show features independent scholar, peace activist, and gift economy advocate Genevieve Vaughn, as well as shamanic healer, artist, and teacher Vicki Noble, co-creator with Karen Vogel of the Mother Peace Tarot Cards. Discussing women's spirituality, in particular the ancient Egyptian goddess Sekhmet, Vaughn dedicated a temple to her in the Nevada desert near a nuclear test site that now houses several Air Force bases that are doing drone testing. In April of 2014, the temple's statue of the goddess Sekhmet was stolen. In August, a new statue was installed during a weekend of rituals that both Vaughn and Noble attended. We begin with Vaughn's explanation of why she founded the temple.
The promise was, when Amelia was conceived, the promise I made to the goddess.
If I get pregnant, I'll build a temple to you.
Right.
Jen, I've wondered why you chose to place the temple in that place of violence.
After I had made the promise to the goddess, when I was in Egypt, it must have been 1965, I guess, I got pregnant almost immediately. I looked for a long time for a place to do the temple. And I also, it was a long time ago, and I was living in Italy, and at the time I really didn't have the guts to do a goddess temple in Italy. But then I came back to the U.S. in 1983, and I was involved in the peace movement, and I went to Nevada to protest against the nuclear test site. And I thought that that was really a great place to build a goddess temple, because it was a place to take a stand for life, for fertility of human beings and of the planet. Sekhmet did grant me the pregnancy, and so it was a place to nurture life-giving and birth-giving. And in contrast to all of the negative energy of the nuclear test site. So for quite a while, at least a year, I looked there in the desert if I could find a place for the temple, and finally some land came up for sale, and I bought it, not immediately by the test site, because there's not anything there outside of the test site. There is a town in the site itself called Mercury, but outside there's nothing. And this is about 10 miles away, but it's quite close in the direction the crow flies. And so I got this land and donated it back to the Western Shoshone, whose land that area was, all of that area, including the test site, belonged to them. So I donated the land back to them, and then they allowed me to have the temple there. It is a place where we can take a stand for peace in front of not only the nuclear test site, but now there are several Air Force bases there, also where they are doing the drones, testing the drones, and it's really a area of war, and it's very important to have a location of peace there. People do peace walks out to the test site. The Franciscans come from Las Vegas. They walk all the way out there from Las Vegas every Easter, and they walk all the way to the test site, which is 60 miles or something from Las Vegas, and they stop at the temple and rest there on their way. Native Americans come there too, and there is quite a community of people who come to the temple for ceremonies, and that happens on all of the holy days and all of the full moons and new moons and so forth. So we have quite a constituency of people who over the years have made that a central point and that's been a good thing.
Is there a little town nearby?
Yeah, there is Indian Springs.
That's right.
It's about 2 miles away.
Okay.
And that's the place where all of the military bases, they're kind of based around there.
How old were you? You were young when you had Amelia.
Yeah, I was 27, maybe, something like that.
How did you know anything about Sekhmet? How did you know about goddesses?
I didn't. I went on a trip with my husband to Egypt, and I didn't know anything about Sekhmet. And I was wanting to get pregnant. I mean, I hadn't gotten pregnant. We'd been married for a couple of years, and I hadn't gotten pregnant yet. So we had a guide. We were in Luxor, and the guide took us around, and he took us down these stairs, and at the bottom of the stairs, there was this goddess seated statue. And the guide said, women who want to get pregnant make the goddess a promise, and they get pregnant. So I thought, well, I'll do that.
Well, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, little did he know.
Little did he know, or maybe, you know, I thought maybe women do that quite a bit, you know. I've actually heard of somebody else from Italy whose, I think, grandmother asked Sekhmet for a grandchild, and she got one.
Genevieve Vaughn, hosted by Janie Reisner, as well as shamanic healer, artist, and teacher Vicki Noble, discussing ancient Egyptian goddess Sekhmet. Vaughn dedicated a temple to her in the Nevada desert near a nuclear test site. In 2014, in August, a new statue was installed during a weekend of rituals that both Vaughn and Noble attended.
For me, it was an invitation from Jen to come and celebrate the installation of a new Sekhmet statue, because the earlier one had been stolen from the temple. It was stolen in April of this year, and a lot of us who are on two different lists and communicate a lot about goddess issues and subjects, the matriarchal studies list and the gift economy list, both of which Jen is active on. And so we were upset, of course, because there was this unexpected violation to the temple. The priestess at the temple, Candace, felt that it was probably kids, and it probably wasn't a terribly antagonistic gesture, but you never know. So Jen had a new statue created, bigger, stronger, going to be stuck to the earth forever, and invited a lot of us to come to the temple and share in her installation and in the celebrations around that. And it was in early August, the 10th of August.
Yeah, a friend of mine had made the original statue, Marcia Gomez, and that was wonderful. We had that there from 1993, I think, on. And Marcia later died, so it was a shame that her statue got stolen. Anyway, we needed another statue, and actually the community put together the money to buy a new statue, to have the new statue made, and Candace went and got it and had it brought there. So that was quite exciting that all that happened, and then a number of us came. A few of us I invited, and others came on their own. There was quite a group there, because there is a following of the temple. I go there rarely, because I'm in Italy a lot of the time. But the first evening, there were maybe 40 or 50 priestesses, women, doing the ritual, which was fantastic, I thought.
Absolutely beautiful. It was amazing. These are very dedicated practitioners, the ritual was just beautiful.
Could you describe it in some way? I know you were all wearing red long gowns.
And the temple has a fire pit in the middle, and so the fire was burning. There was a
liturgy.
Prayers put up beforehand. It was organized by a woman named Candace Kant, and she put the words there for people to take and speak. And so as we went around the group, the different people spoke various words of Sekhmet and about Sekhmet. It was just totally beautiful.
Could you tell me, I know the inscription on the base of Sekhmet is so beautiful.
Yeah, it is, may women be strong as a lion giving birth to the future. because Sekhmet is the goddess with the lion's head, a woman's body and a lion's head.
And I
read and asked around a lot about Sekhmet as a birth goddess or as a goddess of fertility, and there's not much about that. But there was something about her being the goddess that helps women give birth, and that was why we put that inscription under the statue. Now, that has to be redone, for this statue hasn't gotten put there yet, but it will be. And so, in a way, it enlarges birth from the individuals to the whole society, basically, to giving birth to a better world. There are a lot of really beautiful names of Sekhmet that were translated by a man named Robert Masters and are in a book about her that he wrote. And so a lot of those words were used. And it was also based on some work by a woman named Normandy Ellis, who has written books about ancient Egypt. And one of the interesting things, I think, is that back in those days when I decided to do this, or when I made this promise, there was not a goddess movement that I knew anything about, and nobody knew anything about Sekhmet. And now there's lots of people who pay attention to that particular goddess. Not one of the best known of goddesses, but now she is becoming so. And I think that's really wonderful as well. We just went around and sang and spoke, and it was really wonderful. And then after the ritual, there were some people who decided to stay there all night, and I couldn't have done it, unfortunately, but they did. And I think it drummed all night. It was really quite beautiful, too. Vicki, do you want to kind of fill in on that I maybe didn't?
Yeah, when I thought about Sekhmet and why it was so, one of the interesting things was just what you're saying, that there is so much active devotion to her and research and study into her, what little is written down about her practices from ancient Egypt. And I wondered if the popularity, such strong calling for so many of the women, that maybe that was partly because the Western magical tradition, which is, of course, where the tarot cards come from. And when I was making the Mother Peace cards with Karen Vogel in the late 1970s, we were immersed in the Western magical tradition, and so much of it comes from Egypt. But then it was popular in the medieval period in Europe, and so it was a borrowing and a kind of translation into a European form, and that's where the tarot cards emerged from. But I thought that probably we're going back to Egypt, and it makes sense, so many of us being of European ancestry, that that would happen.
What time period is Sekhmet?
I think she's one of the earliest goddesses. The Sphinx is just sort of her opposite. The Sphinx in Egypt has a man's head and a lion's body, and she has a lion's head and a woman's body. And she is from the transition between animal and human, but also, I would say, between matriarchy and patriarchy.
Yes, very definitely, because her story changed. In the earliest times, there wasn't any war, and she's become a war goddess, like so many of the goddesses from Middle Eastern countries from very early.
What do you mean, a war goddess?
The texts talk about her as a war goddess. They make them sound sort of bloodthirsty in their stories, and she's definitely a blood goddess, but I believe very strongly that that goes back to menstruation and the early pre-patriarchal traditions where the women were priestesses, and the blood cycle linked with the moon cycles was the origin or the center of the earliest religion from Africa. And it's our legacy all over the world. And then to go back to the Western magical tradition, there are priests and priestesses from that tradition who believe that some blood substance is necessary in rituals on this planet. And so it was Lawrence Durden Robertson who said very early in the 1970s that the first blood at the altar was women's menstrual blood, and it was given without a sacrifice, and that all blood that has been used since we stopped using women's blood at the altar is part of an ethical problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The magic, the mystery, I believe that the menstrual cycle that human women have is actually part of, if not the center of, the so-called leap from the primate ancestor into the human species. Because we're the only primate that has a menstrual cycle instead of estrus or heat. That's part of our uniqueness as a species, even though we're very, very similar to chimps and bonobos. In that way, we're very different. We synchronize our blood cycle to the moon. It's a phenomenon that I think should be right at the center of science, and yet no one pays much attention to it.
But don't dogs bleed?
Yeah, well, they,
when they're in heat.
Have estrus. When they go into heat.
Right.
So
that's when they get pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah, they show a little blood, and that's a sign of fertility. In the human species, it's exactly the opposite. We bleed once a month for most of our adult female lives, but we're not fertile at that time. We're fertile at the opposite pole of the month.
Really interesting to think of that in terms of Sekhmet as half lion and half human, or at least the lion's head, because it sort of integrates the two points of view. She's like an animal that has menses.
Yes, and I bet anything she was just one of many versions in different cultures of the dark goddess who's fierce and who's related to the menstrual pole of the female cycle. Non-life aspect, in a sense, the regenerative function rather than the creative or fertility function as we have come to know it. She probably involved all of that, as so many of the early goddesses did. They were life, death, and regeneration, which is the menstrual cycle.
Speaking in this way and speaking of drawing back memories, ancient memories, it just expands our consciousness. In such a marvelous way that there's more than this world that we're looking at.
Yeah, it's the ancient goddess returning, which I think is wonderful. It's the return of matriarchy. It's the return of pre-patriarchy in a new way now. That's, I think, one of the things that Sekhmet symbolizes.
Yeah, and maybe the deeper, more hidden reason for her strong popularity at this point and her visibility is that we need it so much. We need not only the focus on life and creativity that the goddess always represents, but we need her fierceness and we need her unwillingness to accept death and destruction as the model of life.
Such a dark time right now and hard to know what to do next that might make a difference, that might turn this ship around. It might awaken the patriarchal powers to simply fade away.
Well, one of the things that women's spirituality and goddess groups all around the world are focused on all the time is ritual and the power of both simple and elaborate rituals for bringing about the changes that we so deeply wish for. We did so many rituals at the temple that weekend. But one that we did was spontaneous, not really planned ahead. Jen asked that there be some sort of a ritual where we ask for the stolen statue to be returned. And Lydia Rule, one of our goddess community, had done such a ritual earlier in the year. She did what she called a despacho. It's a Peruvian kind of ritual. And so Jen asked if we could do that kind of a ritual as part of our weekend of activities, and we planned it for early Sunday morning as part of the sunrise service. And we made it very simple because I had never done a despacho before, so we just sort of followed Lydia's guidelines, and we brought various substances that are said to be Sekhmet's favorites. And we shared in the circle. I just asked all the women who were present to share whatever they knew or whatever they had brought to make offerings. So it was very simple, very basic. We used the physical substances, the cornmeal, the tobacco, the salt, some red beer. Sekhmet loves the red beer, we're told. I think that's because early women created alcoholic beverages as part of the nutritional and the ceremonial observances. So anyway, we brought all those substances to the circle and we made a little bundle and poured it into a hole in the ground where we mixed the earth with the ashes from our prayers that we wrote on little pieces of paper and burned, and basically just went around the circle and said what we hoped for. One woman even said out loud that she wanted whoever stole the statue to know that they were forgiven. And it just proceeded in a very simple way and very improvisational, and then we were done. And I think, was it that afternoon, Jen, that the boys called?
Yes, I think just a few hours later, these young people that had stolen the statue called the priestess and made an appointment with her for a few days later to talk to her. And they told her, when they talked to her, that they had stolen the statue and that they were so scared at the time that they destroyed the statue right after they stole it. And that's too bad, and we were sorry about that. But as it happened, we found the original mold of the statue, and we're going to make a new one. So that's all very exciting.
But, you know, it just goes to show that our sincerity and intention, as the pagans always say, the intention is everything, and your sincerity, your devotion, and that's it. That's all you need. And women are doing practices like that and rituals like that all over the world now on behalf of various goddess forms, I guess you would say, various forms of the goddess. I don't mean precisely a despacho.
No, but a ritual.
Goddess ritual. There are cycles of women. I mean, in the 1980s, we did so many workshops teaching women all over the place how to do ritual, how to call in the goddesses, and so on and so on. And I think at this point, at least in the United States, but as far as I can tell in most other places as well, there's quite a strong presence of women who are having regular circles and who don't need teachers anymore. They are just fine on their own. We have a deep, I was going to say underground, but it's not really so underground. It's just not at the center of our culture, but it's very active, our movement. And at this point, because of all these women all over the place who've been doing rituals and goddess circles and so on, now we're starting to have goddess temples. The original one, that at least I perceive it as the original one, it was started in Orange County. But many years ago, gosh, it must be at least 15 years it's been there. And now there are others sort of modeling themselves after that one, I think. But there are several. We went and visited one such temple that just opened in Las Vegas.
What unusual places. It's really amazing.
Right. Isn't that just exactly right?
Yes. You know, I have dreamed of temples. I can look into my mind and I can see temples with beautiful fabric.
Yeah.
For walls. I mean, I know it. I've been there. It's a really wonderful, wonderful thing.
Well, we got to bring it back.
Well, otherwise we don't survive.
That's right.
Well, the other thing about Lydia's doing the despacho is, I think this is really interesting that her paintings, her wonderful banners, were shipped to a destination where she was doing a presentation. And the box was taken that was sitting out with all her beautiful banners.
Right.
And they disappeared. They did all, they put, offered, I think, reward and the police and everybody. And nothing happened until, I'll let somebody tell this story, how they were discovered. Some boys were playing with them, right?
That I don't know.
Yeah, they were playing with these banners in the street.
Oh, wow.
They were tossing them into the air and somebody saw them.
Ah, someone who had heard about them.
Yeah, probably, yes, yes.
Uh-huh. But because there was a lot of attention.
Right. Then she did the despacho and the boys. But
and they came right back. I mean, they were found so soon after she did the ritual.
Yeah.
They're young boys in both instances.
Oh, I didn't make that connection.
I didn't either.
And I thought that means something, surely. Are they searching for the mother, or they're longing for the mother, or... You know, who knows? But
yeah, maybe, yeah. They're paying attention to the images.
They're being drawn to them, it seems like.
Yeah, it does. That's interesting. Jen and I were talking after there was a lot of attention a few days after everybody on our list found out that the boys had come forward to confess about the statue. And it got to the point where it was sort of like there was so much attention. Jen said, I think this is weird. We just did a ritual and it worked. And I said, I think that we often don't quite believe in our own power to do these things and have an effect. And it's awfully good for us to acknowledge that and to know that even though it's unseen power and even though we don't always have an immediate, often we don't have an immediate response to our prayers and our rituals, still, it's wonderful to know that, of course, at a deeper level, there's some sort of communication and connection and there's a movement. There's a movement on the invisible level. We're moving energy.
I think that we had a wonderful example of that the evening of Sunday when we were doing our final event. Afternoon, we had a double rainbow that covered the sky right there in front of the temple. And then the full moon came up right then, too. To have a double rainbow in the desert is a very unusual occurrence, and we were just felt so blessed.
And the beautiful blue sky.
After it rained, it was really, really nice.
And the rainbows and the priestesses out in these long red gowns. It was stunning. It was stunning. You know, I look at it a little differently. Mind you, I don't do rituals, but I feel that those things are gifts from the mother, that sometimes you might ask for something and sometimes it happens and sometimes it doesn't. But when it does, I just feel like it's a gift from the mother.
Yeah.
I mean, she did it. We didn't do it. She did it. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, but as a ritualist, I beg to differ. We certainly participated.
Well, I have to agree because it's right out there.
I think it's a co-creative act, as all worship probably should be, where we are connecting. We're connecting to something we can't see, but we believe is there and we can feel it and so on. You always are acting on faith when you connect anything on that level.
You bet. You're
communicating.
Yes.
Yes, right.
You have been listening to an excerpt of Women's Voices called Bringing Back the Wisdom of the Mother. It was hosted by Janie Reisner on radio station KZYX in Mendocino County in Northern California. The program featured Genevieve Vaughn, founder of the Temple of Sekhmet in Nevada, and shamanic healer Vicki Noble, co-creator with Karen Vogel of the Mother Peace Tarot Cards. The website of the temple is www.sekhmettempleoneword.com. Sekhmet is spelled Sekhmet. Genevieve Vaughn's website is www.gift-economy.com, where, among other things, she has electronic copies of her books, including Forgiving. Vicki Noble encourages people to visit matrifocus.com. That's matrifocus.com, a site on goddess spirituality. For Wings, I'm Kelia Ramaris Watson.
To hear Wings programs again, email wings@wings.org. And don't miss our daily news feed at facebook.com/wingsradio. Wings thanks all our supporters, including Suzette Cullen, Genevieve Vaughn, and local community radio stations worldwide. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle Is Cast. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.